for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out. I'm Andy Shilton.
And I'm Rose France. And today on the show we catch up with Prism.
And the brand new News Extra kicks off as well this week.
All in the next hour, right here on...
Shout Out. Oh, hello. Are we doing an out-shout? No.
Ah, well, a bit of a confusion there to our listeners. They might be waiting
on,
for
go.
Lots of interesting events.
There we go. We get there. Get there in the end. Sorry, I've got Steph beside me, so say hello, Steph.
Hello, Andy.
Hello. I like your shirt.
I know you do. It's the one with the moor right across it. The one you like reading across my boobies. Sorry, folks, slight technical hitch. The computer decided to freeze just as we were about to go on air. But we've managed it. We've melted it with the heat of our love, have we not, Andy?
Oh, yes. I can't believe in 30 seconds of shout-out you've managed to say boobies already. That's just... So anyway, hello, Tara.
Hello.
Can we have a Tara mic, please? Would you mind? Thank you. Hello.
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 Who's that woman looking?
And hello, Lara.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Yes, I'm very good.
Hello.
Yes. Well, it's odd. I'm stood up doing the show.
Yeah, stood up.
Tonight.
But that's a bit weird, Andy. I think that's making you sort of your head crazy up there.
No, it's making me lightheaded.
I know, that's what I mean. Yeah.
In the clouds.
Well, normally when I'm here, this is Rose speaking here, I'm usually moaning away about the traffic and getting here because, as some of you know, listeners.
Yes, you were really early tonight.
I come
actually.
From Cheltenham. And I always leave really early and usually get stuck up in the traffic. But today, it was like a dream. It just flowed.
Summer
nothing.
Summertime.
Amazing. Well, I don't know. There's
daytime,
just nothing on the road.
No rain. You know?
Nothing on the road. And you know what? Probably from the time I left Cheltenham along the motorway, there was a warning that said there was going to be debris on the road. And I never saw it. Just kept saying debris on the road. Signs kept coming up. Debris on the road. Nothing.
I know the M32 is closed at 9 o'clock.
Yes, I know. Oh, what was it? Yes. Yeah. I'm making sure that I get there before then. Otherwise, I'll be stuck in Bristol.
If you're out and about in Bristol from 9 p.m. to, I think it's 6 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah, Bristol's on lockdown. That's what you need to know.
Yeah, well, speed cameras they're putting up. Sorry.
Oh, they're doing those variable ones as well, aren't they? The horrible ones.
The ones that get you every time.
Average speed,
yes. Yeah. So, anyway, we're talking to Prism today. It's going to be nice to catch up with him. It's been a little while. And, of course, lots of events going. And Brexit started. We shouldn't really mention that.
Well, no, we shouldn't. We've got no opinion on it, have we?
No, not whatsoever.
Too late.
Laura's just choking now. Not at all.
Anyway, right, should we get some events?
Sure, yeah.
This week we've got Tara and Lara.
Yeah, works really well.
I do like that.
Does,
that's actually
it?
That's really cool, isn't it?
I know, right.
So, what events are we doing this week, guys?
So on Sunday, 2nd of April, there's an event at Watershed, 3:50. Tickets before 3:50 are £6.50 and concession £4.50, and it's about Who's Gonna Love Me. Who's Gonna Love Me Now, which is about an Israeli paratrooper who got exited from the army and found his voice in London. There's going to be a performance from London Gay Choir and a live chat with the director.
Nice.
So is that a story about someone who was gay in the army?
Yes.
Yeah,
so he found out that he had HIV, and it's basically how he processed everything and how he came to find his voice in London and how he became more comfortable. It was really good.
Wow, like, that sounds interesting.
He lived in a kibbutz and he was kicked out. He lived in a kibbutz.
A kibbutz?
A kibbutz.
I don't know what that is.
It's where multiple people live together. They farm and look after each other.
Right.
Yeah, for the greater good.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so he actually got kicked out of that because he was non-religious at 23 by his family.
Oh.
And that was part of the reason why they moved to London.
Yeah. Yeah. Is it a film you've seen then?
No, it's out this Sunday.
Oh, so oh right, so no one's seen it.
Yeah, no.
It's like a premiere at Watershed, really.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And there's a director, it's going to be, the director's going to be a question and answer session.
It's quite cool when
afterwards.
That happens. So, yeah. Have you ever been to one where you get to talk to the director after? It's really cool because you find out all the little bits of story that you didn't see on the screen that they were thinking while it was going on and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and Julian Cleary's going to be there presenting the choir, London Choir. So the London Choir was where he actually found his voice as well, so that's why they're going to be singing.
And it's won an award in Germany, so it's pretty good. It's,
so I get your tickets booked up for
I
that.
Think so.
That
sounds good. Yeah, you can book them in advance as well, so I think, I think it's well worth it.
That's this Sunday?
Yeah,
yeah.
This is Sunday.
Cool.
And it's part of Bristol Pride as well.
Yeah.
Oh, is it a Queer Vision one?
It must be, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, cool.
So, yeah.
Yeah, and there's also... what was the other event that we were going to talk about? It's hills on the.
It was the Queen Sheila one, so we've got.
Oh yes,
I
know
alive.
The one you mean. The
heels
are alive.
Sorry,
yes.
Blanked
big,
out there.
Big drag one, I believe.
Yeah.
Well, Bristol's full of drag now. I mean, there's apparently drag on tonight at Bristol
Queen
University
Shilling.
As well. And
yes.
So it's just like.
Yeah, there's drag on at the
you fall over yourself there with
as well.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but I think this is something to do with Eat, Sleep, Drag, Repeat and the like. I think it's if it's not the same people, it's similar set of people.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's got like Cherry Popper and things like that. So
Cherry hosted Drag Idol.
That we
judged last year. I don't know if she's doing it again this year, but
are you judging again this year?
We've been asked to, haven't we? Actually, yeah. Steph might be going down.
Yeah. Are you doing it again?
And judging Drag Idol this year. So, but yes, you might see us. We've been invited along this Sunday as well, so you might see some of the shout out crew there reporting. But I believe it's all the musicals, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hence the name. They're doing drag to numbers from the musicals.
I love the
which
play
is
on the name.
Great. And I think it's a prize fundraiser.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. The event's at £7.50.
It's £7.50
advance.
Yeah. £10 at the door.
At £7.50. That'd be an odd time
to start.
And you can get the tickets at Eventbrite as well. So that's the other thing.
Cool.
So you can book them in advance. Save yourself a few pounds for a few extra bits of drink.
Yeah. Then you can glam up if you like.
Well, you can do.
Definitely glam up.
One way to keep the weekend from coming, the weekend ending.
Yeah, it was the Sunday, isn't it?
Yeah.
We've got a couple of weeks of the long bank holiday, which will be brilliant.
Mm. Definitely.
Video. Yeah. You like your musicals?
I do, yeah. Well, I work in a theatre, so, yeah.
Are you often the one at the back dancing along because you know all the numbers?
No, so. I do at Panto because I've probably seen it about 70-odd times by that stage. So, yeah.
Cool. Brilliant. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
No problem.
Shout
out. LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Little Boots and Remedy. So quite a funky one, that one.
Yeah, very funky. Yeah.
Real Steph one, that one. So dancing away. Well, you would have been dancing away if I were nattering in your ear, wouldn't you? So anyway, a very warm welcome to the show to Lydia. Hello.
Hi.
Now, you're from a lovely, friendly group of us that I think we last saw at the awards, didn't we?
We were very excited to be at the awards,
Yeah. I'm very sorry. I did see you, I think, but I was running around like a headless chicken that night. So,
you
but
had
it was
a lot
lovely.
Of people to meet.
So many people, wasn't there? So,
yeah.
Now, you're from Prism.
Yes.
We obviously know you guys really well, but for those that are listening at home, give them an idea. What is Prism?
So Prism is a specialist drug and alcohol support service. We're there to offer support and treatment and advice to anyone in the LGBT community or loved ones of people in that community who need some support around their drug and alcohol use.
Now, are you an extension of the Bristol Drugs Project?
Yeah, so Bristol Drugs Project is a wider agency in Bristol, but we realised through our kind of personal experiences or work professional experiences and research, really, that LGBT people's needs aren't always met by big mainstream agencies. So we wanted to create a specialist service that meets those needs a bit more specifically. Yeah.
But why do, I mean, I was just thinking about this when I was reading about PRISM, and I was thinking, you know, why do some people might ask, why do LGBT people need a dedicated service?
Yeah, and the answer is some people do and some people don't. So lots of people might be happy just to go to BDP and their needs get met, and that's fine. But we found that a lot of people have had really bad experiences with healthcare professionals in the past. So professionals might assume that somebody's heterosexual. They might not know how to like handle questions around gender. And
well, it's always a very hard one, isn't it? Because you are automatically assumed to be heterosexual and what's the cisgender,
totally.
So and you kind of don't necessarily always want them to not assume that, because it could be offensive. But I mean, I saw a leaflet that I think you had in your hand when you turned up earlier that had some of the statistics on it, and it was quite staggering how adversely affected you found the LGBT community have been.
And that's nationally as well. You know, there's a great place in London called London Friend that do loads of research about healthcare and LGBT people. And just nationally and in Bristol, we found that, yeah, there is higher drug use and alcohol use amongst LGBT people.
Really? That's kind of, I guess, it surprises me a bit. I mean, is there any kind of reasons for that? Or
There's lots of thoughts about that. Some of them are that a lot of people, not all people, some people experience kind of discrimination, even just things like the difficulties in coming out, and there's associated sometimes higher rates of kind of difficult mental health experiences for people. There's that, and then there's just and so people might use drugs and alcohol to kind of medicate those difficult feelings. Plus there's stuff like, you know, the scene's pretty well lubricated with drugs and alcohol. A lot of people's first experiences of going out and being comfortable in their sexuality might be in a gay club or a bar, and so already alcohol is kind of increasing your confidence and allowing you to be a bit more chatty.
I mean, is there also an argument that because the actual access to the service is a little bit more difficult, as you were just sort just, you know, saying a little bit earlier there? I mean, perhaps that is as well, because they've got themselves into a problem before they're able to access the service. Do you think that's another
reason? Totally. I think we've heard, and statistics show that people are more likely to, LGBT people are more likely to talk to their friends or a partner about their drug or alcohol use rather than a professional, because of concerns like, I don't know, being judged or feeling kind of not understood. And so, yeah, there is definitely the argument that people wait longer to have a conversation about their drug or alcohol use than cis or heterosexual people might.
Well, then that brings up a very good question then, is, you know, what does a professional service offer that talking to a friend or relative can't or doesn't?
And the answer is sometimes... like nothing extra. So some people have really great supportive people in their lives that are able to have really supportive conversations with them. Some people don't. You know, one thing that we provide, or that professionals provide, is a kind of non-judgmental space. So if your partner or a loved one is drinking or using drugs or is just hitting a bit hard, you might have personal feelings about that. You know, you might be affected by that. So if you're able to go and talk to a professional who's not kind of doesn't have a stake in the situation, they can be a little bit more removed and able to have kind of less emotionally charged conversations. You know, plus we use... evidence-based kind of interventions to support change. So, you know, your average mate isn't going to necessarily be able to give you CBT in the pub. Yeah. I don't know, maybe you've got very clever friends.
I noticed that you did a
cognitive,
lot of...
Cognitive
behavioural therapy.
Just for those listening, I know a few people think that's something else. how long has PRISM been going, and what kind of...
Not long.
No?
No, we started last June.
Oh, wow, gosh, they're not even a year old yet.
Yeah, we're having a birthday party come June, which you'll all be invited to. But yeah, not too long at all, and we're still a fledgling kind of baby service, if you like.
So it's really trying to get the word out there.
Trying to get the word out, and just, you know, hopefully kind of word of mouth as well from people that have gone and had a good experience. Yeah, we hope we'll kind of pass that on, and that people will just know we're there if they need it, really.
Mm. So how does it work? Are you a phone-based service? Are you drop-in?
Yeah, so we run a drop-in in Midland Road, on Old Market, on a Monday night from 5 till 8. So anyone can just pop into that. And we also have a phone number and a Facebook group that people can get in contact with us via that.
All confidential, I'm sure.
All yeah. Totally confidential, and that's really important for us. And at that drop-in, we have anything from you can just have a chat and have a cup of tea and talk to somebody, one of our volunteers or a member of staff. You can have a one-to-one to kind of get a bit more in-depth about stuff you might want to change. And we have a needle exchange for people who might be using chems, who might be injecting, that would either like to stop or just like to stay safe whilst they're doing that. Mm. And we're just giving really practical harm reduction based advice. Yeah. So we're not telling people to stop. We're just working to their kind of specific aims and trying to keep people safe whilst they're doing it, really.
Yeah. So do you find though that you're guided quite a lot by what people come in wanting, rather than just saying, hey, we're going to offer this service and that service?
Yeah, totally. And we try to listen to a lot of our clients and people that we were already seeing in our agency about, like, what would you want to see? If you could, you know, if you could kind of imagine and design an LGBT drug service, what would it be like? So we listen to that. But also, yeah, we kind of are guided by what people are wanting. You know, there's no point in us providing a service that doesn't fit the needs of the community, really.
I noticed just on the website actually that you offer a tremendous range actually of services. It's really interesting. But one of the things I just wanted you to just tell us a little bit about this, actually, because one of the kind of services that you provide, as it were, is information on safer clubbing. So I thought that might be just touch on that for us.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, hasn't it been a big issue the whole chemsex and clubbing? It originated from London. I know we've had shows in the past where we've talked about it, because it's come to Bristol in quite some force, hasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I think that is part of our outlook, is trying to, you know, people that might be involved in chemsex or even just in going and having a big night out are worried about being judged by professionals. It's not easy to talk about that. And also people don't always feel confident that a worker's going to understand what you're on about. So it's really important for us that we're able to provide advice that makes sense for people where they're at, that isn't trying to push an agenda or get people to stop doing something before they want to. But just helps people to be a little bit safer. So we might give advice about how to use G safely on a night out, you know, how to avoid going under, how to dose safely. We might talk to people about, you know, how to make sure that they have a safer experience if they're using a pill for the first time or trying a powder that they've not tried before.
I'm going to play devil's advocate, because I can hear you saying that, and I can hear people at home screaming, saying, why on earth would you recommend that to someone about taking drugs? It's not necessarily about making a recommendation. If they're going to do it, they're going to do it, aren't they? Right. It's better that they do it safely and with some knowledge.
Yeah, and we're not pro drugs, we're not anti drugs. We're just recognizing that people are taking drugs, and we want to keep people safe whilst they're doing it. That's our biggest kind of concern, is to support people where they're at rather than trying to get people to change. It doesn't work. And we've seen too many people get into really bad ways, have bad experiences, you know, death, you know, like really difficult things can happen around drugs if you aren't using them safely or in a safer way. And we just want to give people that information. They can do what they want with it. You know,
so I guess if you do that, and it's what Andy's saying, I hear what he's saying, and but I guess if you are providing that sort of information, when those people are ready to come to you and say, well, actually I've got a problem with this, they're much more likely to come, because you know, they know that you're not going to judge them, and you've already provided a safe space. So
And if you've met one of our workers in a club or in a bar, being friendly, putting some you know, shoving some glitter on your face or giving you a sticker or whatever. And then later you realise, maybe I do want to talk to somebody about how much I'm drinking, actually. You might remember us and you might think, oh, they seemed not judgmental, they seemed all right, and be more likely to come and say hi, really.
Sure. Well, listen, it's been lovely to... catch up with you. I didn't realise you weren't even a year old. It's fantastic because you guys are already making an impact.
She looks older than that.
Marginally.
But I mean, we didn't want to touch on it on purpose, but we are aware you are all volunteers and you've been hit just as hard by the recent cuts in funding that has hit everyone. So it's brilliant that you're still around and there's still a resource, and long may it continue. But if anyone is listening and is thinking, yeah, actually, I wouldn't mind getting some advice on this or that, or, you know, actually wants to reach out and get some help, how do they get hold of you?
The best way is search Prism BDP on Facebook, or look on Bristol Drugs Project's website for the Prism page, and you'll be able to find our contact details there and come and say hi.
Cool. Listen, well, lovely to meet you. Hopefully
thank
we'll come
you.
Have a bit of cake with you in June on your
absolutely.
Birthday.
Absolutely.
But for now, thank you very much for coming in.
So. Thanks, guys.
Now, stay with us. News headlines coming up next. You're listening to Shout Out.
The Shout Out Podcast. Shout Out
Podcast. It Ain't Me by, how on earth do I say that? Kygo and Selena Gomez. I found it on iTunes. It's a nice one. Do you know that one, do you?
Actually, it does ring a bell, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I like Selena Gomez. I have a bit of a crush on her. It's very shallow.
I see.
So, hello, Matthew.
Hello, good evening.
So, are you back from science stuff?
For a bit, yes. And I'm off again tomorrow.
Are you?
Yes. But it's good to be back.
Yeah.
It's good to see everyone as well.
We got Easter holidays coming up. You must have some science stuff booked throughout that.
Straight after Easter, I'm off to Japan to do some science stuff.
Oh, yeah. Wow, really? Japan? So if you listen, you probably heard us talk to him before, but Matthew, you have a name for it, don't you? I know it's Science Experiments with Kids.
It's called Science Communication, so I'm a science presenter. That's one of the other things I do, and aside from the pyrotechnics and fireworks I do a lot about the science of fireworks behind the scenes. So I'm in and out to schools a lot and a lot of science festivals as well.
It's great, because of course we're friends. I get to see a lot of it on Facebook, and you're forever blowing things up and seeing the kids go, wow, they do seem to really enjoy it.
I didn't blow the kids up, but we just get that clear.
I can't believe you're off to Japan. That's brilliant.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Anyway, we ought to get some news headlines.
This is Shout Out News on Thursday, the 30th of March.
A special comic book raising funds for victims of the Orlando massacre has raised more than $165,000. The comic is called Love is Love and was released last month by DC Comics and IDW Publishing. It features 100 short comics penned by 100 writers and artists. Strips in the book feature DC's most famous characters, including Batman, Wonder Woman, and Superman, with a focus on LGBT plus equality. The comic book is currently in its fourth printing, with a further fifth printing announced to meet demand. Nadine Smith is the chief executive of Equality Florida, the organization that administers the Survivors Fund. She says, "We are so grateful for this project. It has been such an inspiring and powerful way to respond in the face of tragedy."
Plans are once again coming together for Queer Spirit Camp. The event returns after the success of the inaugural festival last year. With ritual, music, meditation and shamanic practice, the Queer Spirit Camp says that it aims to help LGBT plus people explore their connection to spirituality and the earth. The festival is an exciting and unique perspective for LGBT plus people on all spiritual paths. What's more, it takes place in the West Country at Thorston Park in Wiltshire. Right now, the organisers are looking out for people to get involved with on-site catering, management and welfare. If you're interested in getting involved, then visit queerspirit.net.
Bisexual actor, the Scottish genius that is Alan Cumming, has spoken with the US gay magazine The Advocate about his activism in a rare interview. Mr. Cumming, who is these days a US citizen, says that he believes in peace and compassion for all living things, a position which has led him back to a number of progressive organisations ranging from Planned Parenthood to People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. Mr. Cumming has been a vegan for 8 years and took a role in a successful lobby by animal rights groups of Dairy Queen, a milkshake chain, asking them to provide vegan drinks. The advocate notes that he also uses his web portal to encourage people to take an active role in politics.
Disability and sexuality are two sides of the activist coin. Both the gay liberation and the disability rights movement spring from the countercultural high tide of the late 1960s, and many of the concerns of the movements are about acceptance and living a fulfilling life. This week, the BBC's disability news service, called Ouch, meets Mick Scarlett, who relates how having a broken back led to him losing his erectile function. He was rehabilitated by radical lesbian feminists in the 1980s who, he says, taught him a new way of being a man. His story was broadcast by the BBC News Channel on Sunday evening, and it is up for posterity on the BBC Ouch website.
Columnist Owen Jones, writing in The Guardian about the Daily Mail's now notorious headline comparing Theresa May and Nicola Sturgeon's legs, says that in the wake of Brexit, the reactionary elements of British society are emboldened and trying to foment a backlash against feminism, minority rights and personal liberties. In truth, he writes, they want to turn this country into the drunk man at closing time, stumbling around, yelling obscenities at everyone, leering at women and shouting racist abuse.
One for the many LGBT plus sci-fi fans in our region. The current incarnation of Doctor Who, played by Peter Capaldi, joins gay chat show host Graham Norton on his sofa when The Norton Show returns to BBC One on Friday the 14th of April. Peter will talk more about his decision to leave the show and will be quizzed about who might be his successor. Doctor Who returns to our screens on Easter Saturday, the 15th of April.
For these news stories and more, visit our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, this has been Ella Watts
and Matthew Tosh.
Shoutout News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Oh, I do like that one. That's Rag and Bone Man and Human. Did we find out whether he's gay or not? Do we know?
No, I don't know.
Does anyone else
are you
know?
Casting nasturtiums.
Yeah. No, well, Rose asked me earlier. You know, I know it doesn't really matter. But we just
I'm kidding.
Wonder. You know, some people are very open about their sexuality.
They are, especially these new generation artists.
Yeah.
Yes. Is he very high in the hit parade this week?
Hit parade. You might have to explain what that is to some of our listeners. Yeah.
Is he the top 40?
Yes.
Well, yeah. I don't even know. I think that younger people might not know even what the top 40 is, you see.
No.
We know what the top 40 is. I'm sorry. Hang on. Young person voice in the room. We still have taste in music.
The charts, yeah. So anyway, now this is a brand new feature. Well, sort of brand new. We've done similar things before, but we're almost kind of formalising this. So this is our new feature called News Extra, which is where we're going to take a story or two from the news, which in future shows you as listeners will also be able to tell us if there's a particular one you'd like us to do.
Yes, absolutely.
We're going to talk about it in a little bit more depth. But Terry, what are we talking about first off today?
Well, first off, if anyone's got a really good name, which is catchy and witty for the news review, we'd love to hear from you. We couldn't come up with anything. But for the news review tonight, we're going to start with talking about Brexit for a little bit. Now, although exact figures are hard to come by, some estimates suggest that there was a spike of around 50% in hate crimes against all minorities in the wake of the vote to leave the European Union, sometimes called Brexit, last June. Eventually, the figure settled somewhat, but is still said by the Guardian newspaper to be around 16% higher week on week than what they were before Brexit. The left-wing columnist and gay man Owen Jones has said that Brexit wasn't about immigration or the EU, but was simply an excuse for the right wing to protest against all the progress made by minorities, immigrants and feminists in the last 50 years. But he's not the only person in the game from the LGBT community. Ian Dale, the founder of a political publishing house and a presenter on LBC Talk Radio, is a gay conservative commentator and he's also a passionate Brexiteer. Now, he believes that the whole debate about hate crime is essentially made up and exaggerated, and that the vast majority of people who voted to leave the EU last June were not inspired by bigotry. So what I want to ask our panel and you at home tonight is, what do you think the real reasons for the popular vote to leave the EU were? And most importantly for us, what effects is it going to have on minority rights in the coming years? Many minority rights, of course, were enshrined in EU law. Mm. Matthew? Well,
I think it has. And talking to people of my parents' generation, I think it has focused people's thoughts on minority groups, and particularly arising from immigration. And it's I don't like focusing on that, but it is an issue that's come up. It's come up in conversation with older people that I've spoken to. Mm. And I think that plants a seed for some people thinking, well, OK, we do have people coming in for whatever reason. That immediately identifies a specific group of people. And then I think it's a bit of a Chinese whispers thing that goes on in society. And if you've got somebody who perhaps isn't quite as well informed and able to take a balanced view on things, they may jump to conclusions. And I think that's what's happened. That's my take on the whole situation. Well,
what's really funny, though, is the whole issue of migration was all around they're coming in to take our jobs, so to speak, in inverted commas. Yet employment is at a record high at the moment.
Mm. Yeah.
So we can quite categorically say it's a complete myth. Because we wouldn't be at such a high level of employment if there were lots of Brits out of work because of immigration.
But my point is, and I completely agree with that, my point is
people are thinking
that.
Do you think social media helps fuel things like that?
Oh, completely. Yeah, because if you watch that any comment that's raised on social media, the way that people reply, you can just quickly pen something very quickly, fire it off, vent. And then people start retweeting and passing those on and sharing those comments.
Thousands,
it does,
doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah.
So
I think it's a major issue, isn't it? And something we can talk about in detail on some other occasion is the role that social media has played in changing political discourse with this whole phenomenon of fake news and Fox News and Facebook
But
news.
Have any
Matthew?
Of you experienced a higher level of hate crime since we announced that we were going to Brexit? Has anyone noticed anything change?
Not in Bristol or the West Country. I think we're quite liberal areas, and I haven't noticed anything personally.
Well, what about you, Rose?
Well,
I think
is that my Eastern European friends have certainly felt less welcome in the country, and they felt uneasy. And I had several people expressing to me, like the day after and the days after the vote, they were going, don't people want us? Don't people like us? We feel so, they generally felt quite hurt, I think. I don't know about actual hate crimes. I don't know, but I know that there was certainly
My cousin's living with her husband and kids. So they live in Spain. She's an English teacher in Spain, and she even turned around to me and said, "How could you vote to leave? Do you not want to be part of this?" And I was like, "Well, no. Personally, I voted to stay."
I mean, one of the things mentioned in the in your introduction, Terry, was that Ian Dale was saying that the vast majority of people who voted to leave the EU last June were not bigots, and I think that is absolutely the case.
Yeah.
But I think it's that those people who are perhaps slightly bigoted or have extreme views will see, right, and we have potential fuel for our argument here, and they could capitalise on that. I haven't seen it myself in the same way that you haven't. But
statistically, it does seem to suggest that a certain group of people seem to come out of the woodwork last June seem to have...
Ella, you're in the younger category out of all of those here in Shout Out. And statistically, I think it was something like between 18 and 25, it was more than 80% or something that voted to stay.
Yeah.
What was your feeling when you saw suddenly we were going to Brexit?
I think misery and fear. But actually, I was thinking about what you guys were saying, and I think for me, whilst I haven't personally experienced a rise in hate crime, I have personally experienced a rise in fear among people, LGBT people who are not British born. And I think that a lot of the Brexit debate comes back to dichotomies of power, by which I mean that the Brexit vote kind of shut down the liberal monolith that I think a lot of people felt kind of had their back. There was a sense, I feel, when I woke up on the morning of Brexit, that there was no way that we would have voted to leave the EU. Like, that would not have happened, because there were all these, in my mind, right-minded people who would not allow that to happen. And they're the same people who would not allow homophobia to become rife. They're the same people who would combat racism. And I'm not saying that people who voted to leave are bigoted, because I do not believe, I agree, I do not believe that they are in the majority. I think there were lots of reasons going in, but I do think that there was a sense of complacency in the left, and perhaps fed by social media, and perhaps fed by these false balloons of hot air that come up when lots of people retweet your thing, which suggests that you have a lot more political power than you actually do. And I think that it was quite a stark reminder that minority groups do not have that much political power now in Britain.
They're promising, though, and I quote, copy and paste of the EU laws into UK law. So theory, you could say, no, it's a little bit more complex than that, and they're saying it's going to be one of the biggest legal undertakings we've ever done. But assuming they do that, it means all the rights and protections we currently have shouldn't disappear.
But that's the starting point, and then it will be for Parliament and government to sort of evolve and work through that. But yeah,
well, the article I saw said that they're not aiming to make major changes. They might do some just to get it into the UK. You're right; it does actually give them almost carte blanche to change them. But if they do it, did that give you any sense of reassurance when you heard about that, or?
Well, not to be that person that connects Brexit to Trump, but, you know, I do feel that that was...
Someone was going to.
You know, but I do feel that that was what the Obama administration was talking about when they were leaving. They were saying, you know, we're doing this stuff. It's going to enshrine these rights. It's going to protect them. They can't possibly be taken away. And I feel like that is a false sense of security that is quite dangerous to fall into.
Well, I can give you a bit of breaking news. They are repealing the law in North Carolina on the bathrooms.
Exactly. Well, that's absolutely fantastic news, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because, you know, that means that common sense has prevailed, I think, from the point of view of the LGBT communities. Yeah. Good piece to end on, actually.
Anyway,
Thank you, Andy.
Again, one of those. The minute you start talking something as big as Brexit, we could talk for another 15 minutes.
I'm sure. We could, but we hope you've enjoyed it. Yes. And if you've got any feedback, do contact the radio station and
yes,
the programme.
And I believe it'll be another month or so before we do another News Extra, but we will be looking for a story. So we'll remind you in the weeks leading up to it, and that you can email in. Don't forget, studio@shoutoutradio.lgbt. But thank you, Matthew. Thank you, Bella.
Pleasure.
And thank you, Terry.
You're more than welcome.
Now stay with us. You're listening to Shout Out. We'll be back in a minute.
The Shout Out Podcast.
For more information about Shout Out Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
And that was Clean Bandit with Symphony. I like that one.
Yeah, that was a really good one.
Did you say they're like a lineup of some sort?
They're a band. Like they're in, like having got an orchestra.
Ah.
So it's like a few string instruments, and they get people to go.
Yeah, they do collaborations, don't they?
Oh.
So I don't know who that was with.
No, neither do I.
No, well, I it just says Clean Bandit.
Oh,
so
right.
I bought it on iTunes last night, so I really liked it. And
it's a really good song.
Yeah.
That's yummy.
How are you both?
Very well.
That was interesting, that Brexit. I don't know if you managed to hear it out there.
That was good. Yeah. It was all about Brexit, which you don't hear on any other news channel, do you?
No. I feel it's a bit tricky because, you know, as sort of presenters or whatever, you can't really express your views in full. And so that's a bit frustrating. I was a bit quiet, that's all I'm saying.
It's always interesting when it's... the aim is, though, hopefully what we will do is we will get to a point where we're discussing what the audience send in as their views. That's the aim. It's going to try and hopefully be a feature that is more interactive. You know, so we'll tell you a week before we're going to talk about a particular subject, and we'll try and get views from both sides. Then we'll talk about the article, and we'll talk about people's points of view. And hopefully, if we can, it's not always possible. You can't. We're not going to get Theresa May when we talk Brexit, are we? But if we can, we'll try and get a subject expert in, which should be really cool.
It's a tricky one, Andy, because I wonder what she really thinks. That's the thing.
Well, I judge it. Did you see the whole thing about legs as well? God, did that cause a scandal?
It is the Daily Mail, though.
Yeah.
That's what you expect.
Daily
Mail are like, you don't expect much different from that.
No, the old everyday misogyny.
Yeah.
Jolly good.
Living and breathing.
Yeah, I mean, they were really kind of like, oh, come on, we're just having a bit of fun. And because they were going, oh, but it was a woman who wrote the article. But you still reckon it was...
Yeah, that makes it all okay, then. And they still published it as well, though. So how can they use that as an excuse? They can't really use that as an excuse. No. I don't believe in that. No. They're terrible.
Did you see on the... changing the subject slightly, on the BBC News earlier today, a 90-year-old war a World War II veteran, has come out as transgender.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Wow.
She was in the army, known since she was 3 years old.
Oh my God.
Wow. She was in the wrong body.
Yeah.
If you go onto the BBC News website and put in Go Local, so UK and England, and then Leicester, the story will come up. It's very interesting.
That is. So what's her name now?
Patricia, now you put her on the spot.
Patricia Davies from Sapcoat in Leicestershire served in the army between April 1945 and 1948. Said she was living a lie as a man. Ms. Davies said she knew she was transgender age 3 and secretly came out to her late wife in 1987.
Goodness, that was a very long time.
They didn't realise it was something that could not cure. So obviously there's the electric shock treatment. No wonder she kept it quiet.
Well, we did have a chap on the show before who'd written a book about it, and he was subject to electroshock therapy here in Bristol.
Really?
Back in the 60s, they tried to cure him, and he said it just doesn't work. It's not.
No, it never has. It was a stupid idea at the start. It never has been. It's not even scientifically proven, so it's just completely stupid.
I think electroshock therapy, I think it's definitely banned in this country, isn't it? But they're trying to also, I believe, ban conversion therapy. I think it's an unwritten rule at the moment, isn't it?
Mm.
Hopefully they'll do that. I think it's still, you can do it in America. It happens all the time in America.
You know, it's America.
Anyway, I think we're talking to nuns next week, aren't we?
Yes, we are. Yes, Perpetual Indulgence are in.
I love the name, yeah. I first came across them on Tale of Two Cities.
I think I've met them.
Has one of them been in the show? We had them when they were trying to set up here in Bristol.
Yes, that's it. I knew.
And they are now established, and they've been doing quite a few. But it is funny when you're out in a gay bar and a load of nuns walk in with white faces and you give you a pack of condoms.
And the week after, we got Darren Carter telling us all about
Pride
and the latest headliner. Yes, Belinda.
Yeah.
The new Friday night.
Said Belinda together. Belinda.
Anyway, that's it for this week. But as always, all the information from today's show will be online very shortly, we promise.
Head over to shoutoutradio.lgbt for more. Then join us next week.
Yeah, well, as I said, it's all going to be nuns and poetry next week. But for myself and Steffi and Rose and Lara and
Rebecca.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Say bye-bye.
Bye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.